The Ord scheme's very unusual. There's a massive dam, takes about an hour to fly across it in a little Cessna, with, even by Australian standards, quite a small irrigation scheme down the bottom of it. So 43,000 hectares, if that is realised, compares to 500,000 hectares in the Shepparton irrigation scheme, about 660,000 hectares in the Murrumbidgee, 120,000 which is irrigated, 750,000 hectares in the Murray irrigation scheme. So it's pretty small bickies compared to our southeastern Australian schemes.
And what about the economics? I mean, do they stack up? Would they withstand close scrutiny by Treasury?
I think it is interesting that there doesn't seem to have been a rigorous independent benefit cost analysis of the type that you might imagine, say, the Productivity Commission doing of large-scale irrigation in the north for a long time.
What's been the history of the Ord in that sense? Because environment groups complain that $1.3 billion has been ploughed into the scheme already, but all attempts at large-scale cropping have failed.
Yeah, we need to recognise that the cost base in the far north is much, much higher than down south. So various crops in the Ord have been profitable for various periods of time when prices and seasonal conditions have been in their favour. But after 50 years and more than 60 crops, we don't have any standout, large-scale, sustainable, profitable year-in, year-out industries in the Ord or anywhere else in the north.
You've warned recently about the resurfacing of the northern myth. What do you mean?
Well, the agricultural economist Bruce Davidson in 1965 wrote a book called The Northern Myth, The Economic and Physical Constraints to Irrigation in the North. And I think it's a classic in agricultural science and agricultural economics that has never been effectively rebutted, and in fact he's been proven right time and time again.
Well, recently we had the Northern Australia Land and Water Task Force. It concluded that the potential for Northern Australia to be a food bowl is limited. What's your sense? Is that right?
Yes, broadly. I think the task force did a very good job. Yes, we could increase food production in the north, and in fact I think we should, to improve our own food security. But it's not going to be a big contribution to meeting the 70% of extra food that the world's going to need by 2050.
So what you're saying is we're not going to be a southern food bowl for a growing Asia?
No, that doesn't mean we can't find some nice, profitable niche crops that meet a particular need where we have a competitive advantage. One of the crops in the Ord that looks like it has promise in that area is sandalwood. Sandalwood obviously is not a food, but it has certain characteristics. It doesn't need a cool chain. It's a high value, low volume, and so the relative amount of transport cost per unit product you're selling is small, and that gives it characteristics that overcome some of the tyranny of distance that we're facing and the tyranny of input costs. Labour, chemicals, nutrients, diesel, energy, everything. It costs more here compared to elsewhere in the country.
If not the Ord, there are other regions, other rivers right across northern Australia. The Coalition is talking about northern development opportunities in the top end of Western Australia, the Territory, and into Queensland. Is the Ord it, or are there other possibilities?
If you look really carefully across the north, there are very limited places where you can do a traditional irrigation scheme of putting a dam high up in the catchment, irrigating a big flat area down below. Lake Argyle is a classic, but there aren't any other sites for a Lake Argyle. The floodplains, of course, are very, very flat. The evaporation rates here in Darwin, even, we get more evaporation than we do rainfall. And so there are very limited opportunities across the north for additional dams. That said, CSIRO proposed a mosaic of groundwater-based irrigation schemes, and if those are very carefully designed, then there is potential scope to substantially increase output, but from a very low base.
You've welcomed the Coalition's commitment to a white paper on northern development and establishing a cooperative research centre. If we're not going to develop the north for food, if it's not going to be a massive food bowl, are there other possibilities? Are there other 21st century projects we could and should be looking at?
Oh, absolutely. I was very encouraged to see in the Coalition's vision statement that when you read the whole document, irrigated agriculture is a relatively small component of the overall document. So that document, as does the Prime Minister's announcement today, talks about international education, healthcare, biosecurity, obviously energy. Both major parties seem fixated on oil and gas, but I think there are other opportunities there, and clearly defence. I was disappointed that there wasn't a greater emphasis on Indigenous development potential and also environmental and tourism opportunities, although it was good that the Prime Minister's announcement did talk at least about having a strategic assessment of any new projects. I think a missed opportunity is if we're going to talk about big projects, and I understand the tantalising, seductive nature of the grand nation-building project, then let's focus on some 21st century opportunities, not 19th century opportunities. And for me, the obvious one is large-scale development of the renewable energy resources of Northern Australia integrated into our region so that we would be exporting solar, potentially long-term geothermal and tidal energy into enormous growing markets in Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia and up into China. And to me, that's the sort of big visionary scheme that we should be thinking about and co-investing in with our neighbours, not just trying to dream up things that we can sell to the countries to our north.
Andrew Campbell, thank you very much for speaking to Breakfast.
It's a pleasure, Greg.